We are now joined by the fire chief of the Northfield area, the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Chief, Tom Nelson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to both of you.
How you doing?
All right.
Good.
I told you as I was, when I got here, that was up this morning and having some coffee, and all of a sudden, you're thinking about your day,
yeah.
Gonna jump in the shower,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
I hear in the back of my head, and I remember Logan Wells at the council meeting, and I said, hey, how are you? And he goes, yeah, I'll see you Thursday. I was like, so you hear this little voice,
yep,
I'll see you Thursday. So the first thing I said to you, yeah, was, I'm sure glad we're on radio, and we're not on video. So, yeah, and of course, we'll always come up with things to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, fortunately for you, you will never talk to me on video, ever. This is the classic face for radio.
The face, right? For radio. Exactly. I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so you sat down once you got here, and you put your list together. I have not seen your list, so we're winging it.
Well, this is going to be the whole Jeff Johnson thing. It's like I could email Jeff a bunch of questions beforehand, and then he's like, okay, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Yeah. We typically have these discussions a week after we have our Joint Powers Board meetings.
Yes, sir.
So we have our Joint Powers Board in place for 2025. Remember, the Joint Powers Board is Dundas, Northfield, and the Rural Township Fire Association. So we got a couple new counselors. Jamie Reister is off. Her term ended when she was no longer counselor. And then Elizabeth Haza was one of our Northfield appointed board members.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new board members, we have Counselor Peter Dahlin is our second. Brad Ness is our first Northfield counselor appointee.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Dahlin is our second, so he will be joining the NAFRS board. And the appointee for the 2025 to replace Elizabeth from the City of Northfield public appointees is Arlen Malika.
Oh.
So Arlen is, again, another townie and knows his way around, and I think will be a really good representative from the City of Northfield public.
Absolutely.
On our board. So,
well-respected man.
Yes, and Larry Aldrichs is one of the members of the rural townships and on our board, incumbent. He is the chair this year, we've got a really solid board.
Good.
And it is just nice to move into 2025 knowing that we're going to hit the ground running and have some things. A lot of the things we're going to be working on this year with the board is organizational things about digging into the Joint Powers Agreement and say, okay, what things need to tweak since we started it in 2014?
Right.
A lot of those are things like there were things in the board or in the Joint Powers Agreement around more things that the board itself did, and a lot of those are now on the full-time chief to do. So some of it is just, it's like anything else, you should dust off your job description, right? Mm-hmm. You dust off the Joint Powers Agreement. So we'll be doing that during 2025. That brings up, last time we saw the board is we had our Northfield Fire Relief Association banquet at the Grand, and that was earlier this month, and we do recognitions of longevity pins.
Sure.
The board is there to join us. We had Brian Edwards, so a lot of our public safety partners were there. So it was a good time. We also had Galen Malika and Julie Odette from the Defeated Jesse James Day's committee and the VFW Auxiliary, respectively, to really thank them for the work that they did for Vest Fest this year.
Yeah.
And it was huge, and it's great to get those folks to talk about because, again, people that are so rooted in the community and do so much volunteer work to have them talk about how we work together in the community. And there aren't a lot of communities where you could pick up and just raise, $32,000. So, yeah, that was a big deal. And then we do a Firefighter of the Year, and Joe D., who's a firefighter who's been on for 3 years has really been making a difference. And so he was selected as Firefighter of the Year. So
Joe D. So not D period.
Nope.
Okay.
Joe D.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. And not Jody, but
Joseph D.
Joseph D.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that was fun. And some of the exciting things we have going on right now. Yesterday, we've all traded in a car, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, but a lot of us probably have more brought them to the junkyard. Make sure you squeeze all the life out of them. So we have our first line pumper, 8125, headed out to
pasture.
So the exciting thing is in February, we will be getting a delivery of a brand new 8125 that we have had. It's been in process for a year over in Osceola, Wisconsin.
I feel like it's been
years. First you have to buy the chassis.
Yeah.
And so that was, we signed the contract in 2024.
Got
for
it.
That. The chassis comes, you know, basically the front part.
Yep.
Comes, and that takes a long time to be made. That shows up, and then the custom fire apparatus puts on the back. So that will be showing up within the next couple of weeks.
Can we talk about this truck, or do you want to wait until it gets here? Because like I'm super interested to know like what are the fancy bells and whistles on this
thing? You know, and the thing is, the biggest thing that we were pushing for with this truck is symmetry. So it has a twin. The other engine that's in the house at the fire station right now, this one is, it's going to be literally identical.
Okay.
And the point of that is exactly that, is that it doesn't matter which of these you jump in. It used to be back in the day before NAFRS, there was the rural engine.
Oh, okay.
And then the city engine. So the rural engine went out on all the calls, and it was a little different because you have different things out in the country. This truck, the whole point was make it exactly the same as the one, the quote, city engine that's remaining. So really, I'm sorry to say, you're not going to be able to tell the twins apart.
Oh, well.
But as far as operational, it's great because we can, you know, before it would be that rural engine was always the first truck to leave the house.
Okay.
So it gets pounded more. This way we're going to be able to say, operationally, it doesn't matter. So we can decide which trucks to try or switch them around or whatever we want to do to really spread the depreciation.
Okay.
So that's going to be, like I said, so it won't be, wow, this is way cooler than the one that's, it's going to be cooler than the one that's leaving, but it's going to be identical to the one that's sitting next to it.
Okay.
And you can understand on the training side.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just makes it so much easier.
Well, I would just think you get to a call and you've got to be acting really quickly. And if you don't have to take the time to think, okay, which truck am I in?
Or opening every, you know, it's like going to someone's, you know, to someone's house and looking for a coffee mug, and you open up every cabinet.
Yeah. Yes.
So this is just, it's going to be the same. So really, it's going to be great.
That's great.
The other delivery that was really exciting, you know, it's sort of like Christmas a little bit, coming into the first of the year, is we got the new Polaris Ranger that we've been talking about. And again, it was the Sean Simonson and the Capital Equipment team have done a great job on this one of finding out the right piece of equipment. So what we used to do is we'd basically buy an off-the-shelf Polaris Ranger. Mm-hmm. And these are what we use when we have to go out into the farm field or we have to go into the woods and either help get someone out or put a fire out.
So is this like a John Deere Gator or something? It's a utility vehicle?
Exactly. Okay. Yep. Yeah. What is a UTV? Is that the term?
Yes.
So Polaris is up in War Road, right?
Yep.
They have a government division. And so Sean worked with that division to say, we're looking for this, this, and this. And it used to be that you just had to, anything you wanted aside from just a Ranger, you had to build it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a skid that went in the back that was made by, you know, Mitch and Jeff Mahacek and a bunch of others 20 years ago, and it served its purpose. Well, now they have just prepackaged units. So we have a winter one in right now that has a space for a stretcher or, a, you know, like a Stokes basket.
Yep.
And the attendant can sit there to do patient care. And then in the summer, it's a tank with a hose and a reel and all that stuff. So it's a great, great purchase. And the beauty of it was It didn't cost the NAFRS budget a penny. So this unit was about 50 grand all in, and half of that came from the Waterford Warriors Snowmobile Club.
Wow.
We met with them. Phil Growy from the rescue squad met with them and said, you know, this is something that's really cool. You know, the Waterford Warriors Snowmobile Club is all about trails and everything, but it's also about kids training to be safe riders. Mm-hmm. And so we said, and they do charitable gambling, and they give money similar to the Jesse James Committee, where it's spread all around the community. We tried to really make the case with the group to say, this is core mission to what you're working on. Rider safety, and if something happens, we can get out and help them. And they came and gave us $26,000.
Wow.
In 2024. Wow. For this.
That's fantastic. I mean, what a great.
Yeah. So pretty soon we'll be doing the shake hands and have the picture.
Sure.
Posted and everything. But again, we're talking about community involvement.
Yeah.
And so it's really key. And to have something that's newer and it's got an enclosed cab so that as you're trying to do stuff, you're not getting your eyes full of
bugs,
embers and bugs, yeah, and whatever. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be a good piece of equipment. So we'll be seeing more of that, because this year is the, someone asked me this week, my kid wants to know when you're going to do that propane tree on the bridge.
Yeah.
So this year in October will be the on year. We do it every other year for the open house. So everyone can come down and see the new equipment, and you know, that we'll also probably have it down for some of the third Thursdays downtown.
Awesome.
So yeah, to show some of that stuff off. So yeah, it's a kind of a fun time of year where you're and you don't have to assemble anything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the beauty of when you have gifts that come pre-assembled.
These vehicles are sounding like Transformers. They sound like they can do anything.
So the other thing too, now let's look ahead,
yeah,
a little bit for equipment.
Yeah.
We reminder that we sold the ambulance, mm-hmm, and we have those proceeds as well as proceeds coming from the Rescue Squad Association for their, they have a truck fund for the new large big blue rescue truck. And we are going to use some of the money in that fund, because that one's about 8 years out. And we have now a contract in hand for the new mini pumper light rescue truck.
Okay.
So that one is going to be, and what's nice is, as we've been talking about with this, with the manufacturer, to say when timing wise. So we've got this mini pumper that's going to be showing up yet in 2025.
Okay.
Which is great.
That's cool.
Because the ambulance is gone, and so any medicals now, we're having to take the big rescue truck out. So, but we know it's all about timing, and it's about cash flow and things like that. So that one is going to be a really nice rig, and one of the beauties of that will be trying to get a pumper into an area that's not designed for a pumper, and mm-hmm, that's going to lead me again to one of the things I keep talking about is, you know, whether we're driving around on the college campuses and some of the access ways to a lot of the buildings, the campuses aren't designed like offices where you can drive right up in front.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're residential communities, yep, both of them. So a lot of the access to the buildings are on sidewalks, albeit wide sidewalks, mm-hmm, for us. Mm-hmm. But it's still really tough to get a 50,000-pound fire truck down there.
Yeah, I honestly hadn't never thought about that, but I'm thinking about some of the dorms on campus at Olaf. I mean, if like Kittlesby were to have an issue, that would be a tough place to get to.
Yeah, and so really, there's about a third, or maybe a quarter of the buildings on each campus have the fire department connections accessible, and the hydrants are all on sidewalks.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that this rig is going to do. But another one is so many, you know, we all remember the day when the farms out in the country where, mm-hmm, there was your big section of land and your farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed. It's not like that anymore. There's a lot of residential houses or small subdivisions out in the country.
Sure.
What we find is, and even then go back to the farmsteads where, let's say, it's got a long driveway. And back, my wife used to say, oh, we always have to trim the trees so the milk truck can get in. Well, if there's not a milk truck coming to your farm or to your house, you don't have that lens for, oh, man, you can't really get in here because of the tree canopy.
Right.
This is the perfect time of year to get out or to call someone out to trim back the tree canopy on your driveway, on your approach road. Think about how would these big trucks get in if we needed to. And that includes, I said, that the big rescue truck is no different in size. Mm-hmm. So if we got to come to your house for a medical, are we going to be able to get in?
Right.
Are we going to, and think about as you're plowing snow, if we get any more snow, how are they going to turn around?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I just want people to remember to think about that. If you've got a driveway that's a little bit longer than a normal city, city lot, be thinking about that. That's key.
When I think of light rescue, what I picture is the like the vehicle that the two guys in Emergency,
Johnny and Roy.
Yes,
I started to say this to the, when we were talking
Johnny
about
Gage and Roy.
Those we are getting a Squad 51.
Okay, all right, that's what you're getting.
But what has come to now is you can have a Squad 51 that has the cabinets on the side, mm-hmm. and this is going to be a crew cab.
Okay.
So it'll haul four, and it will have a pump in it as big as the pumps on this new engine that's showing up in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So everything has been able to get more efficient, so you can have that pull up to Bow Chapel at St. Olaf that has the standpipe fire department connection in the middle of the campus green, hook to a fire hydrant, and supply the standpipe with just like you were driving a big engine.
That's cool.
So, yeah, we're trying to be nimble about kind of what has changed. And it isn't like you bring all this big stuff out to the farmyard, and then the neighbors come and bring sandwiches when the barn burns down and all that. Is that times have changed, and we need to be more nimble and get equipment into areas that it's not typically designed to go.
Sure. Okay. With just a couple of minutes left, I know you've got more.
No, we're way down here.
All right, I appreciate it.
You think this is my first Wing It rodeo?
No, it is absolutely not. Just with my thoughts on L.A., have you ever fought a wildfire?
No, not. I mean, we've had, and the big thing about it, what you're seeing out there is the, it's called the rural-urban interface line.
Okay.
So that's the where all this stuff comes in to meet houses and properties.
Yeah.
So, no, we are not in that situation, nor do we have the winds. Nope. We've had, you know, grass fires and things like this, but this people ask me about this, and it's like, this is a totally different animal. My daughter Adeline's boyfriend, whose name is Sam Nelson also, he's working for the U.S. Forest Service up in Ely.
Oh.
And so that's probably closer to what that world is like. But the scary thing is just how fast this stuff moves.
Oh, man.
And unbelievable with the Santa Anas.
When you've got winds that are 100 miles an hour, I mean, what can, as a firefighter, what can you do?
No, and to think about when it's moving that fast, and I'm sure I don't know much about wildland, but of course it's about making fire breaks, mm-hmm. try to get it to not jump. This is just hopeless.
Yeah.
So, yeah. When we look around and feel like, oh, this little winter's getting long, you can say, you know, there's certain things we don't have to worry about.
Exactly.
And our hearts go out to those folks.
100%.
And the firefighters that are working out there. And you see so much community involvement there, too, that kind of raises you up a little bit. But, yeah, when you go outside when it's 17 below and say, boy, I'm sure glad we live here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep those things in mind.
Absolutely.
So to wrap up is, again, we went to two calls this week where smoke alarms are going off, CO alarms are going off. We get there, we pull them down. Oh, wow, the house was built in 2003. What's the date on the smoke alarm?
2003.
And so those are good for 10 years. At that point, if you get 10 years out of a smoke alarm, wow, that's great if you haven't already like pulled them down out of frustration. So what I've said to a couple people, okay, it's not 2 in the morning. Right. We're all really lucky, right, that this didn't happen during the middle of the night. We had another one then yesterday where something was beeping. We couldn't find it. It was one of those plug-in CO detectors on the baseboard. It was behind a dresser. They didn't even remember they had it because they'd already put combinations in. So do that little inventory game. It's like, where did that one get that we got for Christmas 11 years ago or right. 9 years ago? Because right. those will go off at 10 years. And they will let you know, and it will be at 2 in the morning, and then you'll be awake and mad, and if you can't find it, we'll call up and have to come help you. So be proactive.
Okay.
So, and suddenly right. a hammer is your best friend.
Oh, exactly. I've told the story where I literally threw one out the front window like a Frisbee.
That's hilarious.
And Marilyn was like, are you happy now?
Yeah.
Do you feel better? I said, yes. I do.
I feel ecstatic.
I'm ready to go back to bed. So.
Tom Nelson, we always enjoy the time with you, sir. Thanks for coming in.